talks about us being pretty sorry in that song. Yet the love of God is upon us. And I think that's interesting enough. That song right there is a good foundation to look at in James here. Right? James chapter 4 to remind us where we've been at. And we've seen that there was, it's important to go back to chapter 3, and the first 12 verses were speaking about our tongues, the problem that our tongues get us into, and what the fountain that comes, that they come out of our heart, that is revelation of our tongues. And we've seen that we can bless God, and curse men. That aspect. And it kind of ends with some questions that really, you know, kind of stir in verses 11 and 12. Then he wants to, another question in verse 13, who is a wise man and do with knowledge? These words start really pulling in the whole section for it, wisdom and meekness. Those go all the way back to chapter 1, having a good conversation, a good lifestyle, pulled from chapter 2. But ye have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts. Right, that's his question. Does it take more than one person to have envy and bitter strife? It takes, I mean, in terms of poorly worded, what I mean is, that's not a personal problem, that's a problem with other people. And so he's talking about conflict that's happening amongst you with other people. And strife means butting heads with somebody else. I'm in conflict. I've got envy of this aspect. So this has got rivalries within the church. He says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. Where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. I want you to have the wisdom that comes from above. Pure, peaceable. And then he talks about wars and fightings among you. Is that talking about internal conflict, or is it talking about interpersonal conflict? All right, we're back to interpersonal conflict. So he begins to deal with it and says, you know what, where all this comes from? They come from your own desires within inside of you. He says these desires put you in the camp of friendship with the world, enmity with God. He says we need the grace of God to overcome what's going on in our hearts. God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. And then in verses 7 through 10 is really the punch of the whole book. Submit to God, draw nigh to him, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, be afflicted and mourn and weep. And he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. That's the context of the next verse. That is found in verse 11. Speak not evil one another. Comes right after this great climactic call for humility and says, don't speak evil one of another. You know what the cause of speaking evil of one another is? Oh, yeah. I think when you see this aspect, he's calling for humility. The opposite of humility is pride. And now he's speaking to us directly about what we're supposed to do with our tongues, and how we're supposed to use that in relation into interpersonal relationships. You know where that pride comes out? It comes out in pride. And I tell you, I know that other people are evil. Says, speak not against. So we need to look at what is being prohibited. What is being, he's telling us not to do something. What exactly is he talking about? And the literal word for speaking evil is literally speak against. Take basically the word speak, Greek, take the word against, put them right next to each other. And you're speaking against somebody. Speaking for them. Against them. So what does this mean? Well, we have other examples where these words occur in the Bible. The exact same word. word, and it's helpful for us to see it in the context. Here's one in Numbers 21. It says, the people spake against God and against Moses. This is what they said. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this like bread. They were just stating opinions. Was that slander? Slander we think of as saying something that's false against something else. But they were saying something false. It wasn't in the words, but it's in the implication. What would you call these types of words? Yes. Our children, I was gonna ask, no one said that word, I would say, if our children said this, what would we call it? We call it complaining against God. And within this, we're saying, this isn't enough. I don't have what I need. God, you're failing me. God says, you're speaking against me. Not speaking with me, for me, you're speaking against me. Psalm 78 gives us another example. It says, they spake against God, and they said, can God furnish a table? Go ahead, God, show us. And they tempted God. They were manipulating God. You can see that when you're speaking against God, it's not in submission and it's not in thankfulness. Here, another word is used in Psalm 50, verse 20. He says, thou speakest, thou sittest, and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. So those words are kind of help us to see he's comparing speaking against somebody. Clearly, you're not talking good about them. You're talking bad about them. And he's saying this is parallel to the slander. And what's interesting is he says against thy brother and against thy mother's son. Two different relationships. You've got a brother and you've got your mother's son. All right, those are the same relationship. All right, so he's clearly trying to parallel us, but it's trying to emphasize the relationship that you have with that person. Let me read the verse in front of us right here. He says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. So part of what's going on here is saying, this is what's happening in the body of Christ. In fact, says here, he that speaketh evil of his and judgeth his. All right, so you can see this element of emphasis is on the brother. You have the relationship that you have. There's an aspect to which when we come to this, this can refer to speaking against somebody can be public. Speak publicly against somebody right here, or I could do it. Necessarily in that regard. It could be a bald-faced lie. Slander. Could be telling the truth. And sometimes I think there's an element to the part of the aspect of this when we say we're telling the truth. I've been wrestling with this honestly. Now this passage honestly is one of the hardest points in all of James. And I kind of forgot about it until this week. I was like, oh man, I gotta figure this thing out. I'm still kind of wrestling with it. So I'm up here thinking, even when we speak the truth, I say, you know what? You guys don't know this about me. And I might say something, but you know what? Is that really the right context? Do I really present the totality of it? Oftentimes we can get something in terms of bitterness, in terms of relationship, also. Does the husband always leave his laundry right in front of the hamper? Well, yes. But it's the dirty laundry that he's been working 8 hours in. know what I mean? So there's a context here of saying, yeah, there's the bad, and boy, if we could just get a little bit farther, man, we could solve a lot of problems. But is there the context? Oftentimes that's where the slander is. We are speaking evil of somebody that's outside of the kingdom. You know, there's an aspect here to which this has been echoing throughout the book. I'll take you through it. I am cognizant of the time. I know I'm not needing to go first, and that's okay. The Lord wants us to dwell on this a little bit. Go back to chapter 1, verse 26. He says, if any man seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. We've been talking about here in terms of saying, all right, the true, genuine walk with God is going to impact your tongue. See this in chapter 2, where he says, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, and he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Say, why is this talking about? Because the aspect of judgment is going to be all through this passage. You are judging your brother, and you are judging the law. This aspect of, well, and then chapter 3, in verse 10, we've seen this aspect. I pulled that into the cursing with the tongue. I'll kind of give you some of that introduction. So, this kind of term seems to be speaking accusingly, falsely, degradingly, dishonorably, or with slanderous intent, trying to label a person in the minds of others. He says, and I think there's an aspect we have to be careful in terms of, and I kind of wrestle with this. The whole concept is there is a difference between judging someone and discernment. You can see someone say, that's a problem. I think this is an issue. But it's a whole different aspect to judging. Judging in the Bible is the idea of condemning. Like Luke 6:37, he says, Jesus said, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. So, what is it? I think this is what helped me in terms of understanding. Before we even just look through some of the rest of it, this is going to get challenging. I'm not sure I get through all of that. I'm afraid to start it. The pride that brings us in. I'm sitting here and say, what I'm saying, I can judge. Am I speaking positively, uplifting somebody? I think I can pretty much tell when I'm doing that. Or am I pointing out a fault or a problem to somebody else? And I say, wait a second, okay. Now, do people have problems? Do people have faults? Okay, but I've got to judge this aspect. Am I saying this in a spirit of construction, meaning what I am saying is meant to build them up because I love them and I care about them. Well, I'm just telling my buddy, how is that going to help? How is that? So it has to be to the right person, right? It has to be in the right context for that motive to be being played out. But even in certain contexts, I could be saying, well, I think this is a person that should know, and I'm going to talk about this, but the reason why I'm speaking evil against that person is because I am filled with hostility. There is no love. There's no desire. There is just rejecting what you think evil about them, like I think about them. Do not walk. We'll see how old. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother. So there's an element that says, as soon as these words are coming out of my mouth, I want you to be evil of that person. And my heart is filled with pride and disdain towards this person. I'm sitting over here in condemnation upon them. I saw what he did on that business deal. I know who he is. Or did we come about this? I feel like there's an aspect. I've had people relay pieces of information that they're not necessarily savory about another person. But I know that they did it in the right way. And right spirit. Part of that is because of how they were very careful. And they wanted to make sure that it wasn't just something negative. They wanted to relay some of the positive. They had to relay a specific incident or a situation. You can tell by their spirit and their heart. Did not want to speak evil against them. Here, when we're confident, we're sitting in this aspect, I can judge my brother. I can condemn them. He says, you know what you don't realize? Is that you are speaking evil of the law and judging the law. I tell you, I've memorized these words. The reason why I say that is these words have gone over and over in my head. I was about 20 years old. That's about the time I memorized. So, for me, about 20 years. And I have wondered and wondered what does that mean? I'm not sure if I still know what that means. But I've got a little bit. I'll try to explain to some degree what that could mean here. Possibility that seems the best, my best understanding is, look back over here in chapter 2. I love a verse in a context that can help us. He says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. What is the royal law? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So that is the context of the law. When he mentions the law, you are speaking evil of the law. You are judging the law. He says, thou art not a doer of the law. So in this moment, when I stand over here and I'm condemning that person, I have stepped outside of the authority of the God Almighty law that says I am supposed to love that person as the neighbor, as I would love myself. You know how much I get warm, loving feeling? Different. I'm trying to keep that secret. Reality is, I love this statement in terms of, someone thinks evil of you, don't get upset. Because if they knew you, if they knew you better, they could say a lot worse. That really is true. Reality is we are ignoring the law while we sit not under the law. And in that moment, you cease to be a doer of the law. Because what is the spirit of a doer? Bring myself under. What's so interesting is actually seeing the context of chapter 1. Might have been similar. Yep. And I know I'm going to hurt our youth if I don't know, but let's just finish with this context and we'll come back to review next time. Just go back to chapter 1. Let's read verses 19 to 25 in the context of what you've just heard. Wherefore, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Oh, okay. Don't be so quick to judge my brother, speak evil of them. Slow to wrath. Oh, I know what they did. I'm going to speak against them. He says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. And here's the key phrase, which is able to save your soul. I didn't read verse 12. I'm from chapter 3 in verse 12. He says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save. There's a key phrase that ties us in right back to chapter 1. He says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What is that? This idea of the hearer, the doer, is the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. This man will be blessed. And then you see the context of the speech. You start to overlay what we've studied in chapter 1 with what chapter 3 here, chapter 4, begins to come out and says, I have to have a certain kind of humility with God. I will focus on being obedient to God's law and walking in humility with my God. I will not have a judgment, condescending attitude or speech to those who are my brothers. And if they're my brothers, that means that they have a walk with God. Who is going to get to heaven and not have God be merciful? I speak evil about you, but God's going to have mercy. He's the judge, and I'm not. And there's aspect. Have you ever thought in your mind, I'm so glad he's not in terms of somebody else out there? Good. Because you know what? Other people's judgment on us seems to be a whole lot more strict. God's pointing towards this element of pride. So may God help us. There's somebody that we've spoken evil against. Oh, just to our parents. Get on the phone and talk about them. Oh, this is just talk about this and that. They don't know anything about the situation. But what are we doing? What kind of pride in our hearts puts us to a place? Give us the wisdom. What is discernment? We'll come back and do some of that and see the last phrase. All right, we'll go ahead and see the awards to give out. So we're going to dismiss our youth. So I took up some of our time, but we'll go directly to our youth. And you're welcome to stay here and pray together and have a